I'll try to cover most of the areas of work that are going on at Free Desktop now, starting with X, which everyone knows and loves because it's very shiny. System-wide inter-process communication with the D-Bus. Universal input, so it's not just people with Latin character sets who can actually use their computers, and closer integration between various environments. And I am Daniel at freedesktop.org or disco.kde.org. Email me if you have any queries or whatever. Right. Currently on Free Desktop, we have 58 projects listed, and there are a few more sub-projects within that, but they're also inactive projects. So it rounds up to roughly 60 odd projects going on within Free Desktop right now. The major ones are, we've got a lot of work going on in X, as you may have noticed. Freedesktop.org hosts X.org, who are currently doing the main monolithic releases of X. And in 5 days' time, they'll be releasing X11R6.8, which is only 5 months after... Yeah, 6.8, which is only 5 months after they released 6.7. So that's quite an incredible turnaround from going from a release cycle of years and being very opaque to transparent and 5 month releases. There are the modular trees of X, which many of you know through the K-Drive server, which is where Keith first implemented Composite. We also host the DRI and I believe the Mesa project as well. We host their CVS trees and a lot of their development efforts. And there's other X work going on as well, but too long to mention in what's meant to be a very short wrap-up. Cairo is a 2D vector graphics framework. It has multiple output backends, so it can just write to X. The lovingly rendered freedesktop.org logo there was taken from Cairo, then bastardized into Ping and made lighter so you could actually read the text. D-Bus is the system-wide inter-process communication I mentioned earlier, and this is the thing I'm personally most excited about in Free Desktop, because it just lets the desktops integrate so well. We have a couple of multimedia frameworks, among them GStreamer. I believe the streaming video stuff here is powered in some way by the GStreamer folks. UIM and SDIM give the universal input support I mentioned before, and HAL is a platform-independent hardware layer. And those are just a couple of the major projects and efforts going on at Free Desktop. Alright, so K-Drive is very, very shiny. It's a great code base for proofs of concept. And it's often known as the freedesktop.org X server. And that's where Composite and the new acceleration architecture that should be put into the main x386/xorg server should be going into. But that's where these concepts were first proven. And that's a modular X server, and it goes hand in hand with the modular X libraries. So instead of having a couple of hundred native source all bundled up together, we've broken it out quite massively into libraries that, modules that undergo active development. For example, the ATI driver changes a lot, but stuff like core fonts and documentation on the architecture of the server, that doesn't change much at all, so it doesn't make much sense to have their schedules linked together. So one of the things we've been doing for probably about 1.5 years now is we've been slowly modularizing X. We've been splitting out all the discrete components into separate chunks to make them more digestible. We've been looking at alternatives to CVS. I think we've now evaluated Subversion, Monotone, and TLA. TLA seems to come out the most positively of those. But there is a high likelihood that X at freedesktop.org will start transitioning to something like TLA, where you have distributed development branches and ease of merging between them. For instance, I already host Debris is one of my projects that's a modular X.org server. And the code base there has been changed around quite a lot. Files have been moved, renamed, whatever. But what can happen is I can branch Debris off X.org, and DRI can branch off X.org as well and make their changes. And I can merge with a single command DRI's changes to X.org back into my tree in a meaningful and correct way, which is a huge win. So, as I said before, X.org are about to release X11 revision 6.8. And that's a pretty huge step. As I said before, they've gone from years for releases to 5 months apart. And that'll have composite from K-Drive, so you can finally have all your transparency with all the driver support you know and love. It'll have far better acceleration for most drivers, and the whole boat load of usual changes and improvements. And the next release after that will be X11R7, and things that have been proposed for this release have been moving to slash user default instead of installing to user X11R6, which I personally hate. Modularizing the entire tree and using that for our canonical release, and quite possibly changing our source code management system. But it's still all up in the air. Really makes sense. A lot of people believe X sucks. X doesn't suck. I firmly believe Xlib sucks. A lot of the performance problems within X that people have been saying, you know, my desktop is latent, let's switch to DirectFV or Wide or Fresco. A lot of the problem is to do with Xlib. Excuse me. What Xlib does is it tries to be both something you can sensibly write a map in and something toolkits can base themselves on, and it doesn't do very well at either. And so what often happens is people like the trolls will go out there, they'll profile what happens for their common cases, and they'll work out exactly what's happening and try and optimize it so you don't get caught in several blocking paths. So it's like, call, wait. And by this time, you've tried to drag your icon halfway across the desktop, but it hasn't started yet. So by its own optimizations, it often tries to outwit other people trying to optimize it and makes toolkits lives generally miserable. So we have a development effort going on called XCV, which I hope is my next slide. Yes, XCV is the X protocol in the C API essentially. It's very, very low level. It's completely unsuitable for applications, which probably should be using standard toolkits, or if you really dislike the concept of toolkits, Xlib isn't too bad if you're being minimalist. It allows, because it's just the X protocol and nothing fancy, it allows toolkits to hand tune and optimize all their code paths. So the trolls can now go and say, this is where it's blocking, we can fix that within Qt. And suddenly, most of the latencies you see commonly in desktops go away. To this date, it supports most of the X extensions and stuff. Jamie Sharp is working on improving this. He's one of the original XCV guys. And there's a project going on to rewrite libx11 as a small shim for XCV. So Xlib will no longer have its own transport layer and all of those form of smarts. The transport layer I mentioned is X-Trans. I'll show you a snippet from some of its lovely code. nice little table of unreadable macros and hash lines. Then you go down. This is the C file you include from your library or application. And the function names get changed by macros. And it's generally quite horrific. So one of the things that's going away is extrans, which is great, because that's been problematic for a long time. Then this is an example of something that was a temporary hack in 1989. Caro, which is the vector graphics library formerly known as XR. Caro is a 2D vector graphics library. It's back-end independent and there are lots of back-ends written for it. So it supports rendering to standard X or OpenGL, or you can render to an image, such as the logo in my background. And that's generally very cool. It's already supported by GTK and I believe Qt4 as well as an output backend. So they can do scalable stuff without having to worry about the smarts and also the output to the various systems themselves. DBOS. DBOS is a universal ITC system. And so it has separate buses. So you have one for your system, which contains stuff like TEL, the hardware instruction layer, which notifies you of hardware events and such, and first session buses, which is a more or less a drop-in replacement for DCOP server for this use. So with your system bus, that allows pretty deep integration with the underlying system, because the desktop environments and such don't have to know anything about the OS in order to interact with it. For instance, I'm actually running GNOME here, but if I plug a USB key or a digital camera in or some such, GNOME Volume Manager will, with absolutely no knowledge about the underlying OS, mount the new driver I've just plugged in. If it's a camera, it'll let me go and import the all the photos I've taken. If it's an audio CD, it'll play it. And it does all of this without knowing a single thing about the hardware. And that's because TEL is a system daemon that just sends notifications out through DBOS. And this can be done for other things as well. For example, if you wanted to do networking right, you could have a single configuration architecture for networking, and you could set it up so, for example, you just click, I'm at uni, and the daemon that handles all this will go change my IP address, do whatever, then broadcast out over DBus that my proxy server is now studentproxy.web.uml. or whatever it is. And so KDE, GNOME, Mozilla, Linux, whatever it will go and change its proxy server to deal with that. And that's the sort of integration that gets me really excited. And you can also do this on a larger scale with a lot of the things that are currently duplicated between KDE, GNOME and our other environments. Once they're talking, that's all good. Just getting there, that's the hard part. Any questions so far before I move on? No? Problem. Input methods. UIM and SCIM are the universal and shared common input methods, respectively. X has been really broken. Maybe I can talk now. X has been really broken with respect to inputting anything that isn't Latin 1 for years. The current systems really only deal alright with ISO 88591-15, which are your bog standard A through Z, a few symbols, character sets. And that works great for me, but if you're in Japan, maybe not so cool. So this aimed to actually fix the problem whereby only Latin is properly supported. And we've had this happen a couple of times, but they've only supported it for specific locales. This is essentially the CJK problem, whereby many times many wheels get invented, and they're only solved, so-called solved, for specific character sets, locales, whatever. But these two input methods, which actually work together and complement one another, will hopefully solve that by actually being the universal input method. So hopefully people who speak Arabic, Japanese, Hebrew, Hindi, whatever it is you speak, you can, if you can input it, we can now deal with it the same way. Free desktop to build platform. It's underhyped, probably a while late. I mentioned it to Cordovel some months ago, and then again more recently. Its first release is 10 days from now. It's a common base of libraries, specifications, whatever, for desktop developers, distributors, and ISVs to build upon. So we can essentially come out and say, this is a baseline, you can rely on it. And so that currently, it has to be API stable, otherwise it's no use having it there. We might as well just throw them the piece of regress to our CVX so they can go download. So the first release will not contain DBus or HAL or Cairo or any multimedia framework, but we're including a lot of base stuff such as XML libraries, graphics libraries, I believe compression libraries as well, and a whole boatload of specifications from Free Desktop that have been making desktop integration not suck for quite a while, such as the .desktop standard for adding menu items, which means you don't have to write one for KDE, GNOME, Widowmaker, TWM, Afterstep, whatever. You now have a single standard menu item spec. And system tray specification, as I said, a whole boatload of specifications that you don't even really notice but are making the desktop suck a lot less just by easing the small integration things that really do matter. Services we provide. We'll give you a login with SSH access. We serve CVS, Subversion, Arc. We have a Tinderbox and Bonsai set up if you want to do testing. We'll do web, list, you name it, hosting. And that's not exhaustive. We're a nice bunch of people, so if you need something, ask. Which ties into the next slide. Wanted, inquire within. There are always projects needing help. There are lots of projects that need help. We have a lot of work going on and are probably a little on demand for the work we're doing right now. We have many people working drastically over time, so spreading the work would be really nice. And also, if you've got a really cool library that you like and would be useful to other people, why not take it to Free Desktop where it could be used by other people? So we only have one wheel. New projects are always welcome as long as they're sort of viable and not SourceForge-y. Oh right, a fully 3D rendered OS. I just need a coder after someone writes my web page. If we could get more projects or just people wanting to help with the existing projects, that'd be fantastic. You can either get onto myself, there's a whole bunch of vanity here, or we're on IRC, Hash Free Desktop on Freenode, or you can just send an email to freedesktop@freedesktop.org, which is our sort of catch-all general Free Desktop-y stuff list. Are there any questions? Go, Aaron.
You mentioned system trace back being in the base release, and I don't think it is. Is that? Yeah, I think that Havoc and the other people that long thread about it, yeah.
You're right.
Just to make that clear, because that's a specification I absolutely hate.
Hell yeah. So. Nobody understands you.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me, or?
Yeah, I can. We can hear you, but your slang is extreme.
Sorry, slang. Right, yeah, as an idiot. You almost speak English. The system trace specification on freedesktop.org as it stands right now, I don't believe is part of the base release that's upcoming, pending discussions that were on the release of the freedesktop.org develop list between people of Ashley and Nomad.
My bad. That's actually true. The system trace spec works well enough right now, I believe, but people don't want to be stuck with it. That's a fundamental given for how long it's going to be. So they want to go away, throw it away, start again, let it mature, and put it into the platform before they commit to something like this. Just totally cool. Yes.
I would like to know something about the decision-making process within freedesktop.org, because you just announced that you're going to release the next 10 days. Who is finally deciding what's in the release and what's not? It's sometimes highly political, and I have the impression that it's rather dangerous for the freedesktop.org project to handle it correctly.
Sure, that was something I was going to talk a little bit about, so I'm bringing that forward a touch. Overall, there is little to no decision-making process. It's, if we can't get consensus, then something else is wrong, and we shouldn't be moving forward with it anyway. That's the fundamental assumption, but there are some stuff you do need single people for. So for instance, we're not quite decentralized enough to not have an administration team, for instance. And I am the current free desktop release manager, and Chris Lee assisted me. That was decided sort of by fear. Basically, no one, it was proposed by Havoc, I believe, and no one else objected back in the early days of free desktop.
I'm afraid that that's a very dangerous route to do. We have seen by fiat decisions very often and or much too often in the past, and I think that leads to problem. And somehow it hurts the credibility of the Free Desktop.org project.
Right. This was when Free Desktop was a far smaller project, and as I said, it was proposed, and no one objected, so it went forward because we needed people to essentially ultimately decide what was happening with the platform. Because
it's Red Hat technology.
Sorry?
It's, my personal opinion is that it's Red Hat technology, nothing else.
It's which technology, sorry?
The decision making looks to me, as an outsider, like basically the Red Hat technology decisions, what the CTO of Red Hat says. Because that's how it looks like, and I don't think it's supposed to be like this.
That is pretty much the single decision I can recall going back that was essentially had to be made, because to put a structure in place for making decisions, someone has to make those decisions. So if anyone else wants to come say, I can be a better release manager, I should be on the release team, they are absolutely more than welcome to. As I said, it was just there wasn't actually anyone else who even volunteered at all and said, I think we should do it instead.
I'd like to point out, and I'll talk loud enough so that people can hear me. I mean, if platform sucks, so what? Daniel wasted some of his life, and the rest of us will just move on and use something else. I mean, freedesktop.org can't impose a particular underlying technology choice. because that's essentially a choice for individual projects. But if it works out, then it's potentially useful technology. And if it doesn't, then...
Well, the point is that I don't think that we can... we need freedesktop.org. It's so important that we just can't afford to have it failing.
There's a difference between freedesktop.org, the platform release, which is essentially, at this stage, almost just an aggregation project, yes, and freedesktop.org, the... Hello. The activity that essentially provides the common basis, the development of the specs. So there's essentially, if you distinguish the platform mailing list from the free desktop mailing list, then you might, if you distinguish those two mailing lists, and platform is essentially an aggregation activity of specs that have already been decided and worked out on the free desktop mailing list.
Just a note, if actually we're going to hit here and then there, if that's all right. Just as a note, if we could just get your hands up, so I don't know, running through the crowd and knocking over laptops and spraining my feet.
Where's the plumbing now?
My question is, there any future roadmap? Is there any place or release cycle or something? Because you said it's guaranteed to be stable, the API. For
yes.
example, would release Cairo within the next 10 days, and it's guaranteed that this API is stable until the next major release, it would be really bad.
Well, there was a release cycle announcement posted a while back, which we essentially work by proposing modules. If we get consensus on them, then they get included. So the 8th of August was the deadline for having modules proposed on the list. The 15th of August was the deadline for making a decision on which modules were included and which weren't. And the 31st is the deadline for deciding which version we are going to take and put as our aggregation. The next platform release will be on the 31st of April. We're working on of 2005, that will be will not be 2.0, will be a 1.1 minor revision. So there are slightly different rules with regards to API and ABI there, but it's too complicated to go into here, so I can catch up with you after that, but essentially 1.1, 31st of April will be there. Leon.
Yeah, hi. My name is Leon Shiney. I'm on the board of X.org and was one of the people who was strongly in favor of the newly reformed X.org citing itself on free desktop. We think that was a very good decision. Daniel works very hard on a lot of projects on free desktop. Who speaks for free desktop from the point of view of X.org is an open question. And I have to say honestly, this is the very first that I have heard, although I attend a lot of meetings, telephone meetings and otherwise, it's the first I've heard that there was actually a release from free desktop coming in the next 10 days. But let me point out, let me return to something that Daniel said, which is really the heart of this. We need more people involved. And Martin, I agree. I'm as concerned as you are. X.org is as concerned as you are. Many of you here in this KDE meeting heard me before beg for more participation from KDE in the decisions that are now going on regarding X. So far as Cairo is concerned, to speak to someone else's mark, the Cairo project has cited itself in part on free desktop and in part somewhere else. The Cairo group determines what happens to Cairo. It's not determined by a few people who represent. Look, the wonderful part of free desktop is it's a point of aggregation for desktop issues for the community. I'm wholeheartedly behind that. I think the more we have the greater the cross-fertilization, the more we'll understand what each other is doing, the more help we will give different projects, and the less likelihood that a serious mistake will be made in the long run for the open source community at large. We need help. We can't criticize without participation. And so it seems to me that's really the message that Daniel's bringing home. He's done a vast amount. And everyone has to respect everything that he's contributed. He can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. The XR team can't do it alone. There has, for example, arisen in the last 10 days a serious issue regarding XPrint and XAW. We don't have enough resources to adequately resolve these questions appropriately. The XOR board, as those of you know who are familiar with what's happened in the last year, was elected. And there's a group of us who are trying to be responsible for what happens. We need more help.
Right. I think one of the other things Leon got at was, which I've published and said, is free desktop is quite completely unlike KDE in that when you get access to specific projects, and that's determined by the maintainer. For instance, David Zuthen, who maintains L, might email the admins and say, please add so-and-so to the HAL group and give him an account. And he'll only get access for the HAL group. Neither myself nor Keith Havoc, anyone, can say, damn it, xprint out of x.org now. It's not an iron fist dictatorship over anything. It's an aggregation of many projects, and the platform is just one facet of that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the XCRIP board. You didn't mention anything about that. Are there any plans to do something like a pasteboard server rather than leaving it up to the individual application? As I think it works now.
Sorry?
Are there any plans to do something with the XCRIP board that have been in the discussions? Well, is it regarded as a good idea perhaps to have a pasteboard server like we do for Clipper, but it's on a KDE basis? Is there some way it can be done that would work the same?
I believe it could. I've seen a couple of Clipboard discussions fly by, but I'm not sure they were on that. To be honest, I haven't been watching Clipboard stuff, so I couldn't tell you the answer on that. But if you have an idea, email freedesktop at freedesktop.org. And it's. I didn't quite do what I thought it would do. And because it's XORated, you can CC XORG at freedesktop.org as well. If you have any issues which you think need resolving or you'd like to get clarification on or such, again, come to us and get involved if you want. It's also not a question of please resolve this for me. If you have an opinion and you want to get involved in something, then feel free. That would be great.
I'd just like to add something to what Liam was saying, especially in light of Martin's comments. Havoc is very open to how he runs Free Desktop. The whole Free Desktop team is very open to participation. None of the standards they release in the platform, nothing that comes from Free Desktop, can become a standard unless the two major desktop platforms today support it. And Havoc is very open about that. Now, KDE and GNOME together, you know, account for most of the desktop usage of Linux. If we don't support a certain standard, there's no point in having it in the Free Desktop release. If GNOME doesn't support it, there's no point in having it in the Free Desktop release. This is about building a common platform. Now, I trust Havoc with what he's doing, and I'm very happy he's doing it, but there's a strong need for more KDE participation.
Yes.
So if anybody up here feels about, I know Walter's doing some things, others doing some things, feels about representing KDE there, getting more involved, you can easily become part of the Free Desktop team, help in the administration, and go for it. So instead of Free desktop is important. The stuff that's going on there is very cool, and it happens, most of it happens outside IE, which isn't good.
Right. It's also free desktop. It is about standards. It's not about, we've got this great idea, we'll just beat people with it until they conform. It's a lot about if the major desktop groups get together, decide on something, and go and implement it, then free desktop will say, all right, that's a standard. We're not in the business of, you know, dictating to everyone or having Red Hat and Zimian dictate to KDE or vice versa what must be done. It's just a nice official little step on something that already is.
Well, in some way, I personally feel already burned by this kind of standard. It's a very dangerous thing. Look, for example, the Linux standard base, they changed their rules in the recent years, which had a concrete effect. And the standards are very important for the success of Linux on the desktop. And we have a concrete issue that, for example, the licensing rules changed with LSB, so that GTK is currently in the process of becoming an official recommended standard for the Linux standard base, which Qt cannot become, because the rules are just like that. And so having some credibility and being able to put a standard and put version numbers and so on this stuff, it has some influence, and I mean, you can't just downplay it. If you downplay it, then it's not important. If it is important, it's never.
Yeah, first of all, there is a difference between LSB and Free Desktop, and I think it doesn't serve anybody to start money. I understand what you're saying, that they may seem, you're afraid of patterns you've seen before. I'm as guilty as most KDE developers of not being as involved as I probably should be with, you know, as being someone in KDE and someone who is very interested and really thinks what's going on with desktop.org is good. At the same time, we can't sit here and nitpick and go, oh, is it going to work, is it not going to work, because it comes down to us. If none of us here, I mean, how many people here have actually visited the freedesktop.org site and know all of the specifications that are on that site?
Almost.
Alright, see, everybody should have their hands up, in my opinion, that just if we're sharing opinions. It's something that we should all be involved with. And when it came to what's going to be in the final base, Daniel recommended a week at the system tray. Being someone who has played with it and done and committed code to the system tray applet and Kicker, played with XMBed, tried to get it to work right. I have firsthand experience with it, and it's you know, I wake up screaming in the night, not the system tray spec. So I spoke up. I said, I don't think this is, for these reasons, mature enough. And then Hapik spoke up and said, yeah, I agree. It's not. And then someone else spoke up, and we pointed back and forth to the usability lists and GNOME and stuff. And that's what we need. We need people that have first-hand knowledge within KDE involved in the process. And as soon as that happens, as that improves, we're going to see this process reflect more and more accurately the needs of KDE, as well as all the other pieces of the Linux desktop. And that's the promise of freedesktop.org, but we have to realize it. Just my opinion.
One more thing. We had the question from Richard about Clipper and clipboard stuff, how these things are supposed to work. And if we just go back a few years, if we wanted to change behavior of the clipboard and things, we would write an X client, this is Clipper, dealing with the existing protocols, trying to map them to how we want it to be, and play around with it. Okay, that was fine, that was the good model a couple of years ago. Now things are different. We actually can change things in the platform through freedesktop.org and things happening with x.org. We can actually talk to all the people that matter on the Linux desktop, push new protocols, improve things, instead of constantly working around and playing in our own little fishbowl. So that is the mindset we need again. We can move the whole platform forward together with the others.
and it's not just the platform either. As you saw, I'm hugely excited by DDoS. I think it is the single coolest thing we've seen in years, because finally we have the base that allows the entire system to get talking to one another coherently. And I've been pushing this as hard as I can to as many people as I can, probably annoying lots of people because I won't shut up about DDoS. And I've talked to a lot of KDE people about it, and I've had a fair few responses along the lines of, but DDoS sucks because, insert trivial implementation detail here. If you think DDoS sucks because you have a trivial implementation detail, go to the DDoS list, send a patch. If you think it sucks because it doesn't have Qt, there was one example a while ago. A lot of people said, DDoS sucks because it has no Qt bindings, thus it's a GNOME conspiracy. But the problem was, the mentality always seemed to have been this. And so there was no one to write the Qt bindings, thus there was no Qt bindings. Chicken and egg. If you think something is not good enough, or you don't like it, and you want to see a change, go get involved. Please.
David, Harald wrote Qt bindings. If anybody wants to see the Qt bindings to DDoS, talk to Harald.
They exist now, and yeah. I hear they're excellent, but this was a while back. Any other questions, be it specific or random, hand-wavy, blue-sky ideas? Yeah? Hi. Thank you very much for having me, and I've been rather detached from KDE development for various reasons for a while now. So I'd just like to congratulate everyone on releasing KDE 3.3. Thank you.